Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions, and my guest is Maria Gonzalez Inclán. And Maria is the chairman of the board and of USIC, and it's a bond and also dwelling. We'll discuss a little bit some of the other things that you do. But we're discussing how your late husband developed the company, and of course, let's move then explain how you got involved, because you were basically not involved in the day-to-day of the business. So how you got involved and what, you know, how this thing became made your decision.
Okay, I should say actually that the company started to do surety. Then we also expanded. He also developed, started doing dwelling. We also had a flood program as a federal program, and that's what we had when he was with us. In 2001, he was diagnosed with kidney cancer in February 2001. Prior to that, he had been thinking of doing something with the company, maybe even selling it. He was always very worried about what would happen to his employees because they had grown with him and with us. They were part of our family. We felt them, we all always called them sort of the USIC family. So he was debating, really, but then he was diagnosed with cancer, and in 3 months he passed away. In those 3 months, actually, he told me that he wanted me to sell the company, that I had never been part of it. I had no technical or any kind of professional, experience. I had no experience at all in insurance. I had a master's in clinical social work. I knew about people, and I worried about the part of the human side of the company, although I'd never been involved. But his directive was to sell the company. He told me, please, just don't think about it, sell the company. He passed away, and that was sort of my mission, and I tried to sell the company.
Of course, the part of it would have been knowing what you knew about him is to sell the company, but to keep it intact. Sell the company and make sure that the employees are kept as a family together.
Correct.
So that was a challenge. Okay, so
that was the challenge, and that was my purpose. I said, if I'm going to sell this company, it has to remain intact. And I worried about each and every one of the employees in this company because they were part of our family. So I was never alone. I was very lucky to have two brothers and my lawyer, who were always by my side, and also very lucky to have an incredible group of people in the company that, even though my husband had passed away, they kept on working very hard, and they were there for me, even though they didn't know what was going to happen. The rumors were that I was going to sell, but I always told them from day one that my main concern was them. I was going to watch for them and their jobs, and they believed me, because I think 4 or 5 months passed by. I wasn't able to sell it, not because I didn't have offers, but it wasn't because I wasn't thinking so much about the money. I was thinking of remaining intact, and no one wanted to buy it as a whole. Mm-hmm. So after 4 or 5 months,
your two brothers, Eduardo and Carlos, that were helping you,
yes,
they also told you to sell, right?
Well, initially, no. Initially, they were helping me because that was
whichever decision you wanted, yeah.
Exactly, and they were trying to help me. But one day, they told me to meet with them, and they said, "Hey, you know, you don't want to sell this company. Why sell? You know, it's doing very well. Your employees are all there. You have, you know, everything is working great. So why sell?" And I said, "You should go ahead and just go in there." And I said, "Well, I cannot do it myself. I don't have the training, but I believe I what I should do is find a president. That's what I need, because I have the structure. I have everyone there committed," which to me was my signal to go ahead. You know, I had the commitment of everyone in this company,
right?
And nobody left, and that was for me what was most important, because I knew for sure that they probably had other offers. I mean, when you're in a company where the head and the soul of the company is gone, you say, "Well, let me go ahead and grab whatever is being offered to me, which is going to be better because this is probably going to be sold." But that wasn't the case. Not one of my employees left, and to me, that was so valuable. And that was, to me, hey, the sign. Go ahead, just move on and find a president and let's keep going. And the other thing is that my children were too young, because that was also an issue at the time. That's why he asked me to sell, because they were 18 and 21. They still didn't know if they were going to like insurance, and they were not ready. So this was built as a family business, but we had no family really there, and we didn't know if we would. And I wasn't want to be there, you know, really only as, like I say, as a mentor, as the soul, as his soul, maybe. What he left, when he left, I was kept to continue what he had done, and I was here, and they felt me as part of him, and they felt there was a part of him still here, because this company was built around him, and right. Everybody missed him. So basically, that's what I did. I went on.
And your children, did they pipe in and with their opinion?
Yes, my children were very
They were
very supportive of me. That I must say, of course, I can go on forever talking here about what meant, you know, the day that I was told my husband had cancer, and after 3 months he's passing away. You know, you think your life is gonna go on the same way it's been forever. You have your family, everything sort of. You never think this is gonna happen, sure. And it's like a door is shut, but all of a sudden a door opens.
Right.
And for me, you know, the support that I got from my children, from my family, from my friends, and from every employee in this company, which to me, I always told them, you know, you are sort of what makes me get up every morning, because I started coming to the business every morning and meeting them and looking at their faces and giving them a kiss and looking them at the eye. And that was my role, really, mm-hmm. to have them feel that confidence that I was there for them. And that I would be there for them always.
We walked in today. It took us about 5 minutes to get to your office.
Yes.
Because my Maria was, it's each one, her name and a kiss and an embrace, and it's an important part of your life and of this business.
Yeah. That was very important for them. And they don't know that it was very important for me.
Right.
Because that synergy, that's what really kept me going. That and my children, they're unconditional support. They were there for me. They were an inspiration, as my late husband was, because all that he built here was so precious. I said, you know, I have to keep going. This is a jewel. We always call it a jewel, and a jewel that we have to preserve, and we have to continue. And I was very lucky to find a very special person who's today our president, Mr. Frederick Millán. I think everything was God sent from that. But when I decided to continue, everything just happened. It's like it was like a jigsaw puzzle. All the pieces started coming into place.
Right. And Freddie comes from where? And how old is he when he joined as the president?
Well, Freddie was very young, actually. He was in his 40s. He was with National Insurance Company. He'd been in the insurance business for 18 years. He was part of the business. Very knowledgeable, but especially an incredible human being. Not only a good professional, but a good person.
And did you know him before you started interviewing? No.
No, I never met him.
You used a search company?
We used Careers.
Okay.
A wonderful search company that helped us out. We interviewed, you know, very good candidates. But it just so happened, you know, we met Freddie, and it was like an immediate click, you know. And for my son, who, of course, for him was very difficult, as it was for me, but to have someone take on as president, because of course it was a place nobody would ever fill, and his shoes would never be filled, and that's what we transmitted to Freddie. You know, you're coming to build on whatever we had here, our culture, you know, all the traditions, but you're coming to build on, and I never expect you to fill anybody's shoes, and that was my main role in the company for a few years, actually, 2 or 3 years after he decided to come on with us. I was there to make everyone sort of integrate him and everyone accept him for who he was, and know that, you know, he was not Antonio Blanes, and he would never try to be, and I never expected him to be. Mm-hmm. And they also should know that and make him feel at home and give him an opportunity to join and make of this group also, again, you know, the great company he had always been. Also, I must say that for those months, it was like a ship, you know, sort of without a course in a way, but I was very lucky because the team that I had here, who at the time with the CFO, Mr. Carlos Irizarry, I always say he kept the ship afloat. Mm-hmm. And not only afloat, the company did extremely well. So when Freddie comes in and he knew Carlos Irizarry, I had the team in place. Amen. And everyone felt like we're going ahead.
Okay, well let me take a break and we're gonna discuss this transition then with your role and his role and how you complimented each other, which was a challenge. So we'll be right back after this pause. I'm with Maria Gonzalez Blanes. We laugh because our name, but we'll be right back after this pause.